So, Ethan, you get anything good for Christmas?
Ooh, I got some nice socks, which are always appreciated. What
Sweet.
about you?
Yes. Socks are great. I mean, especially for us doing a winter sport, you can't go wrong with getting someone a nice pair of like warm, tough socks. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
All right, we're back with Brian and Ethan's Biathlon podcast after the new year and the fourth trimester has just wrapped up today. But first, Ethan, how was your holiday break?
It was good. Winter's been a little lackluster here in the US, but seems like it's finally coming. What about you?
Yeah, my holiday break was great. I got to spend some time with my family. Which isn't, I don't get to spend as much time with them as I'd like these days living on the west coast of the US. So it was good to see them over the holidays. But yeah, I definitely missed biathlon. I mean, we got the World Team Challenge, which was, a fun little exhibition event in the middle of the break. But yeah, I was itching for some biathlon over the break. And so I'm really glad to see that biathlon's back. All right, before we get started with our first shot, just don't forget to like and subscribe. That's the best way to promote this podcast because it just tells the algorithm that you're interested and it might help other Biathlon fans connect with our content. Leave a comment down below if you have to say something about what we say. And then I've never asked for this before, but leave us a review. Whatever platform that you're listening to this on, I'm sure there's a way that you can leave a review or some sort of rating. With stars or whatever, leave us a review. And that'll also help get this podcast out to other Biathlon fans, such as yourself. Right, our first hit of the day, feel good story. Jeanine Richard, 21-year-old debut for France, had an absolutely impressive debut. Eighth place in the sprint, ninth place in the pursuit. And it's really cool to see that France is developing a little bit of depth from their women's side to really complement their two superstars that they have right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is something that the French team kind of needed was a little youth injected in the team, some excitement, that's not the same old story of week in and week out. And the French women have had their ups and downs this season, but having a new young gun that will push them and make it a little more competitive, especially when it comes to relay spots, I think it'd be a fun narrative to watch the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, Lou Jeanmonod has stepped up a lot this year to help out with Simon and Brezza. Jeanmonod is currently ranked eighth overall. And then actually, who also had a really good weekend this year, this past weekend was Sophie Chavot, who has been France's number four for the pretty much the whole season. They've really been lacking that number five, that depth that's going to help them compete with Sweden and Norway and Germany. But I think they may have found it in Jeanine Richard, because I mean Guignot was doing okay. Oshin, I'm gonna butcher this name here. There was another girl that they had who was fifth. Oshin Michelon, she was doing okay, but not neither of them were like top 10 contenders like Richard is immediately.
Right. And, she's not going to have, every weekend's not going to be like this. She's going to go through her learning curve just coming up from the IBU Cup. But if she can stay consistent and consistently be learning and improving in different aspects and areas of the sport, then she'll be a super awesome athlete to watch for the next coming years and the rest of the season. But what's interesting is she shot really well this weekend, which hasn't really been her strength on the IBU Cup, which has been her ski speed. And it's a lot easier to teach someone how to shoot than to ski faster. So that's a really promising sign for her to be super fast on the skis right now, but kind of still learning and figuring out the shooting at a super high level.
Yeah, absolutely. On the IBU Cup level, the last couple seasons, she's been like about an 85% shooter. This year, she's boasting 82%. But yeah, she was like shooting 90 something percent this weekend, 93%, which, yeah. So over the long term, you're probably not going to expect her to shoot that well and, you know, continue to be placing in the top 10. But it's really cool. Yeah, like you said, the skiing is her bread and butter, and that can translate to consistency. Good skiing can translate to consistency, because if you can ski fast, you can make up for a poor, you know, a poor shooting day sometimes. As we saw, Justine Brezard-Boucher won with two misses, which was crazy. But one other interesting thing about Jeannine Richard, if you're looking, you know, long term, looking for that next future star, Jeannine was the youth world champion in Obertilliac in 2021. And then last year at Junior World Championships, she placed second place in every single race. Unfortunately, couldn't win one, but she placed second in every race. So, yeah, it's going to be really cool to see. And look, actually, she placed second in the relays as well. So, yeah, literally every single race, she came in second place.
Oh, no.
So it's really gonna be cool to see if she can continue to get opportunity on the World Cup. But even if she gets more IBU Cup opportunity for the rest of the year, I'm sure this is going to be a great step up for her developmentally. And then expect to see her potentially a full-time World Cupper in the next year or two. All right, Ethan. Big miss here is just the weather in Oberhof. And now I know that Oberhof has its nickname of Foggerhof, and it's always been rough and challenging weather in Oberhof, and that's kind of a shtick a little bit. But man, it's bad. It's real bad. They had to delay the start of the weekend because of the weather. And then they had some of the pictures I saw coming out of Oberhof this year were just brutal. It looked like people were skiing on wood chips. So never, you know, I never want to say like, you know, they got to get rid of Oberhof. I know that's a really big opinion on a lot of people on Twitter and Reddit, but I mean, how much longer can they continue to race at this venue? It's just not in a winter environment, and they're doing everything they can to keep it alive, basically.
Yeah. And you saw athletes skiing in the ski tunnel in Oberhof to, you know, get ready for these races, because they just couldn't ski on the actual ski tracks outside on the range, which is kind of sad to see, but it did not look good at all. And I think the IBU is going to have to make a decision at some point, probably this year, how much longer they keep Oberhof in this, you know, cycle of hosting World Cup races. But they also host one in Ruhpolding. Germany does. So Germany hosts two World Cups pretty much every year. And I think they might have to say, hey, Germany, you're only going to get one a year now. And unless you can figure something out in Oberhof, but the weather there every single year, just, it seems like it's getting worse and worse. You can see it from year to year too.
And they've been hosting races since 1984, definitely one of our longest running venues. So I understand the history and all that, but, yeah, it's just, it's not winter, you know, and it doesn't make for, in my opinion, it doesn't make for fun races. I mean, the relays this morning, they're kind of brutal. I mean, just a lot of missing going on. The fields were way, way open. I mean, the gap between like the first place and the second place was just absolutely absurd. I don't have it pulled up right here. 2 minutes between Norway and Germany in the men's relay. And then in the women's relay, 3 minutes between third place and fourth place. Just like, it's not fun, you know, it's like, cause the weather just makes it so hard and challenging. But I do have some interesting stats that I was able to pull up on Real Biathlon. This weekend actually was in terms of median speed, it was actually one of the fastest weekends we've ever seen at Oberhof when looking at the whole field. One of the fastest weekends we've ever seen. And then when it comes to shooting percentage, it was actually a little bit better than we had seen in history. Now, granted, in the last couple of years, there had been better weekends, like at World Championships last year. You know, the field was shooting approximately 80%, 81%, where this weekend it was, you know, a little closer to 78%. But in terms of like biathlon as a whole, the shooting percentage wasn't too bad this weekend. So, I mean, it's definitely a tough venue. like throughout history, the total hit rate is 76% for the field, which is like pretty bad compared to the World Cup standard. But you got to remember that it's been around for a long time, and shooting percentages have definitely gotten better as the biathlon like scene has improved over the years. But yeah, kind of interesting, kind of crazy. But quick fun fact for you, Ethan.
Okay.
The very first biathlon race in Oberhof history, we had a person that we know on the podium. Can you guess who it was?
This was in
1984.
Yeah. I don't know.
Olga Shalna from the U.S., from URS, which was, what does that translate to? Basically Soviet Russia, came in second place. And Elgis was one of our first coaches when you and I were growing up doing biathlon in the Northeast. So kind of funny to see a familiar name on that results list as I was just perusing.
That is a fun fact.
All right. The Women's World Cup is kind of heating up here. Julia Simone, after her really great racing in the World Team Challenge over the holiday break, is starting to look a lot more like Julia Simone that we knew from last year. She got her first win of the season this year, and she's definitely becoming a more of a force on the World Cup circuit. But just there's really the top six on the women's scene right now. They're just really strong, like down to Vitozzi, who's ranked sixth right now. I think, is it Vitozzi or is it
Preuss?
No, it's Preuss. Preuss is ranked sixth right now. Those top six girls, I think, all have a chance at potentially winning the overall. It just depends on who's going to be most consistent.
Mm-hmm. And it's anyone's game right now. Especially in the first period of World Cup racing, we saw it was like a different woman dominating each weekend, and you know, it could be any of them, but it's going to be a real slugfest to the end of the season. And hopefully, you know, no one gets sick or injured and has to miss races, and that puts them out of contention. But every single race is just so fun to watch because you never know what's going to happen. Anyone can end up on the podium, and it's just so close.
Yeah. I mean, just kind of going down the field here, Justine Brezat-Boucher is just absolutely crushing right now. I really did not think that she was going to be able to be in the fight for the overall, just because her shooting percentage is not, like, it wasn't that good when she left off. But right now she's shooting 84%, where last time she competed, she was at 76%. She's up almost 10%. And now I know that everyone's giving her that, like, oh, she's got mama strength now, and there's a, you know, maybe some science behind females having babies and coming back stronger. I mean, she's like skiing so much faster than she was when she last was at the Biathlon World Cup. But like, mama strength doesn't help with 10% in the shooting percentage. I mean, that's the difference between, you know, that's the difference between a podium and like outside the top 10 at the highest level. So I really do not see her doing that well with coming back from taking maternity leave. So you got Justine, who's just on fire right now. Tandervold looks like she's finally become that, like, that Norwegian superstar that Norway has been dying for. Elvira has been consistent this year. We still haven't seen her breakout performances. I'm expecting a weekend from Elvira Øyberg where she just can't be beat, and then suddenly, boom, she skyrockets in the standings, even though she's currently ranked third. Still also haven't seen that standout performance from Vitozzi yet either. She won the first race of the year, and it has just been silently just like picking up really quality points by continually placing in the top 10. And then, yeah, Simone stepping it up. And then Preuss, who, if she didn't miss those two races because of COVID, she actually would probably be ranked either first or second, because she just had to miss two opportunities to score really valuable points. So yeah, kind of crazy. Anyone in the top six here who you think is like gonna fall off, or, you know, maybe not be able to hold this performance throughout the rest of the season?
I don't think the top six is going to change too much. Like, I think they're all going to stay in the top six, and I don't think anyone is going to really drop off that much. I think the only one that I think might, her performance might decrease a little bit is Brazae Boucher, just because it's a long season and she had a year or so away from the sport due to the maternity leave that you mentioned. But they all just look so good right now. I don't think any of them are going to drop in performance to the point where it's going to be detrimental to their season. So I think they're just going to be going at it until the last day. All the globes for the women might be decided on the final weekend of racing, which would be crazy.
In Canmore too, which would be kind of wild. I hope to be there. But yeah, no, this is it's shaping up to be really exciting. What do you think about Elvira Oiberg and Lisa Vitozzi? Like I mentioned, the two of them haven't had that standout weekend yet, but they're both right in the mix. When do you think their time is coming to, really dominate the scene?
I feel like it's got to come and happen at some point, right? They were both so good a couple of years ago. And looking ahead at where the next couple of World Cups are, I think Antholz is one that Lisa Vitozzi has probably got circled on her calendar at home in Italy, where she
For
hopes to
sure.
do really well. And Elvira, I don't know, Sweden already hosted their World Cup. Maybe she'll do really well after World Champs. Maybe she's hoping to peak at World Championships in Novo Mesto, and that's kind of her main goal this year. And whatever happens in the overall in the Globes is kind of a cherry on top. But I think they're going to have to break out at some point and start getting some podiums and wins strung together. But what about you?
Yeah, I'm just looking at Elvira's season last year. You bring up a good point with Anholtz. I think all eyes are going to be on Lisa Vitozzi there. Hopefully she won't crack under the pressure. That's actually going to be a real test for her. If there's any advantage here, it actually goes to the French women because they don't have a World Cup this year. So, they don't get that awkward home field pressure because, you like to say it's home field advantage, but I mean it's been shown time and time again that's really hard to perform on home snow. Maybe you ski better on home snow, but shooting on home snow is really hard. Preuss has okay, so she survived Oberhof. She's got Ruhpolding coming up, but yeah, and then like you said, Elvira survived Östersund. But I was just looking at Elvira's season last year, and like she started off so strong through the first six World Cups, and then she got sick and just like her performance tanked. So, I think if she can get through really World Cup six or seven, then I think she's going to be really strong through the rest of the season. Just looking up the schedule now. Well, so we got World Cup six is Anholtz, and then Novo Mesto World Champs, and then Oslo for seven, Soldier Hollow eight, and then the season finale in Canmore in nine. So, no more altitude. I guess Anholtz is altitude venue, but after Anholtz, no more altitude venues, and that's where Elvira really has an advantage with her skiing ability. So, yeah, I don't know. We know in biathlon, it really just is like who's feeling good at some points. Like who saw Justine Brezat crushing everyone in Lenzerheide? Sometimes it's just a matter of who's feeling good at the right time. But how about Tandervold finally stepping up for Norway? I mean, since the retirement of Eckhoff and Roslund, like Norway's been dying for a leader, on the women's side. There's just absolute domination on the men's side, but they really haven't had that standout performer in biathlon for the women.
She's been so close for so long, and just been, like you said, waiting and waiting for this to happen. And I think if she didn't break out either this year or next year, then who knows what her career would have looked like. But she's consistently been skiing faster and faster throughout her career. Her shooting is slowly getting better every year, but it's so good to see her competing at the top every single weekend with the possibility of winning every race. It's just about time that Norway has a woman that's competing race in, race out.
Yeah, and looking at her results from the last couple seasons, like, she's slowly but surely been increasing her performance year over year. Like you said, her skiing is up right now. But the one thing that was going on with her last couple seasons is, like, she would hang out in the, you know, 20, top 20 range, and then just out of nowhere have like a 50th place. Out of nowhere have like a 30th place, of, you know, somewhere even worse, 73rd a couple seasons back. And when you miss races, or miss points, I guess, if you miss points by coming out of the top 40, it's really hard to stay consistently up there. And then, God forbid, you miss the pursuit and you just have two races back to back with no points. That's where it becomes impossible to fight for the overall. So, I mean, so far for Tandervold right now, she has only had two races outside of the top 10, which is definitely the best she's ever done. But every race inside the top 20 so far is really strong, with a win in the sprint and then a couple other podiums, the sprint in Hochfilzen. So yeah, she's really stepped up, and you know, she's filled in. And I've been seeing a couple memes where people are thinking that, you know, oh, it's like the Scooby-Doo meme where they pull the mask off of the bad guy to see who it really is. And they pull the mask off of Tandervold and they say it's Tyrolekov. So she really is kind of acting like Tyrolekov right now. She's really strong. She's a competitor. She's a fighter. Ekhoff wasn't the best shooter, but then, you know, became a better shooter. And Tandervold has been pretty consistent on the range the last couple seasons. And she really has not improved her shooting this year by much at all, really. 86-87% shooter, but yeah, her ski speed, just massive step up. And so yeah, it's going to be super exciting as we get down, you know, go down the second trimester here into World Champs. I just really hope that everyone stays healthy. I mean, we were so plagued by illness in the first trimester. I just really hope everyone stays healthy, because it's going to be such a buzzkill if someone gets ill and has to sit out the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. All right, jumping over to the men's side. Ethan, is Benny Dole for real? I mean, I thought he was just kind of like, you know, having a good week in, you know, maybe the start of the season, but the dude's hanging around.
He doesn't show any signs that he's going to leave. He's just, you know, the past couple of years, he's just always been there. Like, you look at the World Cup standing and it's Norway 1 through whatever, and Benedict Dole is always the best of the rest, which is, he's never like winning races, it seems like. Obviously, he gets a win every once in a while, but he's always in the top 10, top 15, whatever. He's just always there, which is so impressive.
I still can't believe that he came in fourth overall last year. I just don't have him pegged as like a top five guy. Like, even when I look at someone like Christensen from Norway, who we'll talk about in a minute, but you know, or Tarje Boe, I'm like, oh yeah, those guys are surefire, you know, could fight for a podium any day. I just don't get that sense from Benny for some reason. But last year, he came in fourth overall, breaking up that Norwegian sweep. This year, he's doing even better. He's currently winning the sprint score after more than half the races are done. He's currently in the lead in the sprint score. So yeah, just the dude is... He's a really solid biathlete. I don't know what's up with him. And his shooting, actually, his shooting percentage is down this year, which just goes to show you that he's just a fighter.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's always been one of the faster skiers on the World Cup, which definitely helps, especially in conditions like Oberhof, where, you know, everyone's kind of missing. Your ski speed is, you know, saving you a little bit. But what's interesting to me is that he's shooting way faster than he has his entire World Cup career, except from his first two seasons when he was really young and probably just going out there having a good time. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that his shooting percentage is down, but his shooting time is up, and he's still as successful comparative to the rest of the world.
Yeah, I noticed that too. That's kind of crazy. Maybe it's just a psychological thing. I mean, his shooting percent is down, but he is shooting way faster. Maybe it's just a psychological thing of he just feels relaxed and comfortable. I mean, he's 33 now. He's been on the World Cup since, you know, really a full-timer since 2015. So coming up on 8 years of full-time World Cup performance, like, he's a veteran now compared to some of these young guys like, you know, Hartwig and Giacomel. Like, he's a young guy, or he's an old guy. So he's got the experience. He's got the ability to just kind of relax and just hit the targets. Let's ski fast. Let's do it. You know, really interesting. He, like you said, he's good. He's due for like a win every once in a while. And that's pretty much what he had been pushing the last few seasons, like maybe a podium here and there, and then like maybe one win a season. Like every other season he would get a win. This season so far he has 2 wins, and we're only through World Cup 4. So statistically speaking, we might not see him atop the podium again, but I mean, if things keep going the way that they're going, I think we'll see him on the top of the podium a few more times.
I hope so. It's always fun to kind of see the older guys put the younger kids in line on the World Cup and just show them how biathlon's done.
Yeah. He's got a small lead over Tarje and Sturla in the sprint standings. You expect Johannes Bo to enter the chat a little bit here and get up there in the sprints. But yeah, I mean, this, like we said for Preuss, this is going to be the test for him. I mean, not only did he survive Oberhof, but he thrived with a win in the sprint. But now he's got Ruhpolding, which I think he's from like closer to the Ruhpolding area. So that's actually going to be more of a home field for him. So we'll see how he does in Ruhpolding here. What's on the docket for Ruhpolding, I wonder? Looking at the schedule real quick. We got relays, yes, and then sprint and pursuit. So pretty much the same exact schedule as Oberhof, just a little different timing. We got the relays first. So yeah, hey, if he can back up what he just did in Oberhof and Ruhpolding, then he's definitely going to have a good time in the standings. I mean, hopefully he shoots a little bit better in the pursuits, because he only shot 50% in the prone in the pursuit race, but 100% in the standing, and he was able to get through with a 12th place. But yeah, Benny Dole. But I mean, you know, we're talking about Benny Dole having a good season and getting some wins, but like really the reason why I think he's doing so well is Johannes Tingis Bo is not the Johannes Tingis Bo of last year. He's not as dominant, and that's leaving the door open for other performers to have good seasons. Like Sebastian Samuelson is actually having a really good season. Unfortunately, he lost some time due to illness as well. Some of these new Norwegian guys are in there from the IBU Cup last year, really making a name for themselves in the World Cup, like Strondheim. But yeah, I want to go back. Actually, I should go back and look, like, what did the rankings look like this year compared to last year at this time? Because I mean, last year Johannes Bo had such a massive lead. He basically won the season before Christmas, but I'm curious to see what like everyone else looked like in the standings. And even though when you look at the standings right now, you got Norwegians going 1 through 5, it doesn't feel like it's Norwegian dominance like it did last year. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder if part of that is it's a different Norwegians every race almost.
Sure.
Where it's not like Johannes Tingis Bo, Ligrid, and then either Christensen or Tarje Bo. You know, like Strondheim is in there. Johannes Dahle is back at a high level again, which is super awesome to see. And I know we'll talk about Christensen a little bit, but it's just feels so unfair with all the high level athletes. They can just pull out of the IBU Cup or the Junior Cup or wherever they find these people. I mean, Strondheim is 26, so he's not young, but he's not considered old either. So he should have a couple of years on the World Cup. But you're right, it does feel like Norway isn't dominating as much from race to race, but then they're 1 through 5 on the World Cup standings, and Benedikt Dole is 6th. But one thing that does kind of jump out to me that I want to mention is at this point in the World Cup season, I don't think we would have predicted that an athlete on the women's side would have more World Cup points than Johannes Tingis Bo.
Whoa.
And Justine Brezar Boucher has 592 points. and Johannes Singus-Bo has 579. So it's close, but I don't think we would have predicted that at the beginning of the season, especially not Justine Brezat-Boucher having more points than Johannes Singus-Bo.
That's actually a really good observation because, yeah, I mean, with the we always like to say that the women's side is so close, and it is. But I mean, Justine did go on a tear in Lenzerheide and then follows it up with a victory and then a second place in Oberhof, whereas Bo has just been off to a really slow start this year. That is a really interesting observation. I definitely would not have pegged that to be the case this at this point in the season. And I'm just trying to like do some quick math here. Like within 100 points of Johannes Tingis-Bo, we have, or I guess within 200 points, 379. Within 200 points, we have six people. And then within 200 points of Brezat-Boucher, we have seven people. So that's just crazy how the points are just working out right now, that we have more women within 200 points of the win, but the winner on the women's side has more points than the winner on the men's side. Kind of crazy. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I mean, Bo's shooting is down this year. His shooting percentage is way down. Like, he's shooting 85%, where last year he was 90%. So that's a full 5% decrease. But really what's hurting him, I think, is his ski speed is a lot lower than it was last year. And now, granted, last year he was just, like, he was untouchable. Like, probably could have been a top 10 cross-country skier with his speed last year, where this year he's still one of the faster skiers, but not the fastest. I think, actually, we can look this up right here real quick. Okay, so he has posted a few top 10 ski times this year, but he has, you know, he's also posted a sixth, he's posted a fifth, he's posted a fourth. He's left the door open for other people to be the fastest skier of the day and have that advantage. Whereas last year, it was the only time he really left the door open was in that race in France, where the skis were all wacky. Pretty much everything else, he was not only number one, but number one by a mile. So yeah, not the Johannes Tingis-Bo that we know from last year, which is like, you can't expect last year every year, because it's just, that's absurd what he did last year. But I don't know, it's like, I still expected him to be the best biathlete in the world. And technically he is right now. But I also think there's a big argument for Sebastian Samuelsson as well, who is currently ranked ninth. But if you look at average placing, because Sebastian was sick, if you look at average placing, Seb has actually placed on average better in the races that he did race compared to Johannes Tingis. So as the season goes on, assuming Seb doesn't get sick anymore or lose any more time due to sickness, hopefully he starts crawling back up there and can continue to fight for that top three spot.
And it'll take Seb a few races to get back in the swing of things, having missed the final World Cup races before the Christmas break. But you know, maybe he can work his way up in the overall standings, break up the Norwegian dominance at the top, especially gain some momentum too going into World Championships in Novo Mesto. Who knows?
Yeah. So he placed 10th in the sprint with 60% in the stand. Not good. Then he did move up to 9th in the pursuit still kind of subpar shooting for him. But two top 10 ski times, whereas before Christmas break, he had only top five ski times. So yeah, maybe he's still kind of making his way back into racing. And then, oh my gosh, just an absolutely atrocious relay for him today. But you know, that's a relay. We won't talk about it. But really cool to see, actually, speaking of teams' performance, I mean, Germany has four in the top 11 right now. And Just Estrello, who was like second in the first race of the year, he's hanging around, staying in that top 10. His skiing's not bad. Yeah, I mean, Germany, like they came to play this year, and they're fighting. Strello has been placing really consistently top 20 performances ever since that first race of the year. He got second, and then the rest of the season, he hasn't cracked the top 10, but he's been in the top 20. And now he's just hanging around in 11th place overall. And that's really good. If that's your fourth guy for Germany, really strong. All right. So, I mean, we're kind of talking about the guys here and talking about Norway. We got actually a really interesting problem for Norway. You know, Vetle Christensen was not there this week. And real quick, let me explain the rules. Norway got an extra start spot. So based on criteria for being the best team in the Nations Cup points, they get 6 start spots. But then they also got, or they didn't get, but Vebjørn Sørum earned his own personal start spot for winning the IBU Cup last year. So that let him be on the World Cup. And then with the 6 that they had from, you know, being the best team in the world, they filled out their team for the first trimester. But now Vebjørn loses his start spot. So that's a spot that they, you know, if he wants to stay in the World Cup, Norway has to put him into those 6. And then you also have Jan Olav Botten on the IBU Cup, who is just absolutely murdering people on the IBU Cup, like skiing so absurdly fast. And, you know, not to speculate too much, but, you know, Jan Olav Botten is absolutely murders Philip Horn from Norway or from Germany in Idre at the IBU Cup. And then Philip Horn immediately turns around and goes up to the World Cup, gets called up to the World Cup, and just has an absolutely standout performance where he came in 7th in Lenzerheide, or 4th in the sprint in Lenzerheide. So based on the, you know, transitive property, you could assume that maybe Jan Olav Botten has what it takes to, you know, get a podium on the World Cup. So you have that. You want to give this guy an opportunity, but you're just running out of start spots. Strongheim is showing no sign of slowing down. Like we said, Sørum, really strong. You can't replace Johannes Tingis or Tarje. What do you do, Ethan? I mean, you got too many people and not enough start spots. And unfortunately, this week it was Christensen who had right. to go on vacation. Looked like he was doing some downhill skiing. But who do you replace? Because this week they had Bo, Strongheim, Dahle, Ligrid, and then their 6th spot did go to Botten, which was absolutely atrocious. I'm sorry, it was a terrible race, terrible weekend for him. And now you have to make a decision. You get Botten, Sørum, or Christensen for that last spot going into Ruhpolding. You're the coach. What's your choice?
Oh, that is a tough question. I feel like at some point you got to give the IBU guys a chance to, you know, perform and show what they can do on the World Cup. But Christensen has been so consistent and reliable for Norway there at the World Cup level, and has been such a key part in their, especially their relay success as of late. That is a tough decision, and I do not want to be the Norwegian coach having to make that decision. I cannot tell you. I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. It's a really hard decision. I mean, thank God we're not the ones, you know, making that call. But I mean, part of me, even though Botten had just an absolutely atrocious time, I want to see Botten get another shot, because first off, he shot like 3 misses in the prone in the sprint. And, you know, even you can't win with that. Then another miss in standing. He's been doing better than that on the IBU Cup. He had the fastest ski time of the sprint, which was, you know, impressive for sure. So, I mean, it shows you he's got the ability. He can do it. But, you know, shooting 60%, you can't do that on the World Cup. No one's that fast. Maybe not even Johannes Bo last year. And then in the pursuit, he had the false start where he went too early, so he got a 30-second penalty, and just making some real rookie mistakes. And I mean, really, it's the first time we've seen any of these Norwegians show any sign of being a human and, like, you know, maybe succumbing to the nerves a little bit. It just seems like they're so used to just coming onto the World Cup and being like immediately like, yeah, no big deal. So it's a little refreshing, honestly, to see him have some of these goofs, because, all right, these are humans. But I want Botten to get another opportunity, because I really think he could earn a podium spot. But unfortunately, with his performances, I don't think he's not going to get it, because you go a lot of times you only get one opportunity if you're Norwegian. But yeah, I think Christensen's got the experience, and like, how wild would that be if Christensen like does like get demoted, you know? Like, I mean, what if Botten or Vibjorn Soren just became as good as Strondheim, if not better, and they just don't have a spot for Christensen? That would be wild if he just had to go back down to the IBU Cup. I mean, when he hasn't been on the IBU Cup since 2018. Man, that's that'd be crazy.
I mean, you know, like some of the guys for the US that are my age and I grew up racing with are on the IBU Cup now. And we, for most of our time in high school, or when we were middle to older teenagers, we were watching Christensen on the World Cup, and I can't imagine what it would feel like to, you know, make your first few IBU Cups, and you know, Christensen shows up there on the start line right behind you in a sprint, and you know he's just going to catch you in a K if you're lucky. And that's just, it was crazy to me that, you know, Sorum had to go back down, which is, you know, understandable with the way the start spots worked and everything, but he showed he could compete at the World Cup. I think Norway's going to have to send, you know, someone's going to have to be racing on the IBU Cup for this season. And whoever that is, I don't think is going to be very happy with the decision, but you know, that's just how the sport works.
Yeah. It's funny, 'cause I kind of feel the same way about Stina Nielsen. Like even I was just at the IBU Cup before the Christmas break, and just seeing Stina race around, and she win one of the races, or she was definitely on the podium. I forget. She had some good races that weekend. And it's just kind of funny to look over and just be like, wow, that's Stina Nielsen. Like, she's like a celebrity, you know? And like, obviously her results are dictating where she's racing. And I don't think it's like that big a deal that she's racing in the IBU Cup, because, you know, her team is strong and she's still relatively new to biathlon. But yeah, it's just kind of fun to be like, that's like a celebrity. And it'd probably be the same if Christensen went to the IBU Cup. I'm curious if maybe if that was offered to him when it was originally decided that he wasn't going to race this weekend, if they were like, hey, do you want to go to the IBU Cup? And I wonder if he was just like, nah, I'll just take a longer break and go do ski vacation or something like that. Like, I wonder if they even offered that to him. But yeah, I mean, and then, but like, honestly, who else would go down if not Chris Johnson? Like Liegrid, he's ranked fifth in the world right now and just had two silvers. Strondheim, he just won the race. He's ranked third in the world. Dalle, he's ranked fourth in the world. Like, it's just so hard. But
yeah, at least we're not the ones having to make the decision.
I know, right? All right, spare round. Let's finish this up. What's your feel-good story or feel-good athlete of the season so far, Ethan?
That's a good question. I think I'm going to go with Johannes Dalle.
Oh, okay. Explain yourself.
Yeah. It's probably not the people's first choice. And, you know, Justine Brezat-Boucher is an excellent option, as well as Franziska Preuss. But I think Dalle came out of the World Cup a couple years ago, showed that he could compete at a high level, fell off the last couple of years. I know you were really high on him either last year or the year before, in your preseason World Cup, you know, rankings. But to see him come back this year and be consistently having good races, especially with, like we've talked about, how good the Norwegian team is, where every race feels like a Norwegian podium, but for him to be consistently putting his name in the hat for a podium and to win every single race, I think it's impressive. And, you know, you got to feel happy for the guy.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, don't get me started on Johannes Dalle, but no, I agree. That is a good feel good story. I'm going to go with Alexander Mukin from Kazakhstan. And the 25-year-old from Kazakhstan is kind of crazy to look at his trajectory right now, because he's pretty much like his trajectory right now is what people think athletic trajectories look like. He's just every single season is just trending up at this like 45-degree angle. to the point where now he's currently ranked, what, like in the top 30 overall? Yeah, currently ranked 29th. He just had his best career performance in the sprint when he placed 16th. But all season so far, he's been hovering around like 30th place, which is a big step up for him. What absolutely drives me crazy, or well, I guess, and the other thing is he's also from Kazakhstan, which is a smaller biathlon nation. But what absolutely drives me crazy about Mukin is that he came to Lake Placid last year for the World University Games, and some of our juniors in the U.S. were beating him in Lake Placid on home snow. And then the dude turns around and just has absolutely stellar races on the World Championships. And now this year he's ranked in the top 30 overall. So I'm curious about this guy. He's had my attention since the World University Games in Lake Placid last year. And he's definitely caught my attention again this year for being in the top 30 overall. So that's just someone that you should keep an eye out for if you're, you know, if you're looking for someone a little bit further down the list to follow. But all right, so that's our podcast for this week. Again, if you enjoyed this episode, feel free to hit that like button. Give us a rating on whatever platform you listen to, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcast, YouTube. There's definitely ways to support and leave your feedback by leaving a comment. I don't know if you can leave comments on some of these platforms. So if you can't, but you really have something you want to say, go find the podcast on YouTube, because every podcast also gets uploaded to YouTube. And you know that the comment section on YouTube is the place for biathlon discussion. So we really appreciate all the listeners and everyone who has been our listeners since day one. But I also have to give a special shout out to all my YouTube subscribers, because this last week I surpassed 4,000 subscribers on YouTube, partially is because of this podcast. So also thank you, Ethan, for being an awesome co-host and helping me with that. Shout out to everyone who listens and watches on YouTube too, because that's a big milestone for me and I really appreciate it. So until next time, we'll see you.